Hello, and welcome to this podcast from Consider This. Please let me know what you think and tell others about us on social media. This podcast was originally broadcast live on Northumberland 89.7 FM. You can hear this show live every Friday at noon. Thank you for downloading this program, and I hope you enjoy it. Hello, I'm Robert Washburn, and welcome to Consider This Northumberland, a current affairs program dedicated to the issues facing our community. We talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life in Northumberland County. So I'm asking you, the listener, to take some time out of your busy day to consider this. 2 years ago, Northumberland County announced a public-private partnership to provide internet services to rural residents who currently have poor or no service. Relief is on the way. According to the county, by the end of the month, shovels will be in the ground to provide high-speed internet to people who struggle to get good internet service. In this interview, you will hear the details as the county is finalizing its efforts. Dan Borowick, the county's lead on this project, will go over the details and tell residents how they can participate. I am so pleased to have with me today Dan Borowick, the former Director of Economic Development Planning and Strategic Initiatives for Northumberland County, and he is currently advising the county on broadband issues. Welcome to Consider This.
Thank you very much. It's my pleasure to be here, Rob.
2 years ago, the county announced a public-private partnership to provide improved internet services to residents. I want to get an update, but before we do that, can you give us a brief summary of the project and what it's trying to do?
Certainly. You're correct. 2022, the announcement was made. The support for the project was there, primarily because we were trying to address one of the most important issues in a rural constituency, that being access to connectivity. And in a location like Northumberland, which has approximately 39,000 households, one third of those in 2022 were either unserved or underserved. And if we add all the complications that were amplified because of COVID, a way to do virtual learning, healthcare access, event management, anything to do with tourism, all of that, and some of the complications that arose from that, it became evident, especially through the work of the committee that in the end for what our renewal plan would be, identified broadband connectivity as the number one issue, and so. That's what sort of the context of what we were working in, and over the course of that time, we're at a point where we're ready to begin.
Who are the partners that you're working with?
The public sector partners for this are both the federal and the provincial governments. Both of them struck an accord whereby they will each contribute to a share of the cost of this project, and that cost has been matched by our private sector partner. Our private sector partner is an Ontario-based entity that is both has the financial capacity as well as the ownership of an internet service, is an internet service provider to design, build, and operate this network. And so a part of this at this point in time is that we're just finalizing the documentation attached to all of this. January so far has been an extremely busy month in terms of the final sign-offs from Fed, Prov, private sector, our own end, and we're looking at a shovel in the ground situation as quickly as possible.
So, can we give a name to this private sector partner?
At this point, I can't only because they're determining what they will call themselves.
All right, then how much is all of this costing? What's the budget for this?
The total for this is $128 million.
And what is the county contribution to it?
The county contribution is $700,000.
Finally, what is the county's role in this partnership? What are you guys doing?
Our role is to both facilitate and coordinate the actual creation of this entity. It is both complex and complicated. Accessibility to public sector funds are often more available to a municipal structure or a county structure. Our history in this project has been to try and shape a broad plan that would suggest that if in the beginning we could acquire both pub we could acquire the necessary public sector support from federal and provincial governments, we would have leverage to then go out and deal with a private sector corporation who would be interested in actually doing this activity. And if I could just add one more point to keep this in context, it is very, very difficult to convince existing telecommunications organizations about the merit of putting in high-speed connectivity into rural areas, because it often, well, it not often, it does not meet their business model, and so the costs attributed to that do not show the return that they are looking for. So our role has really been to try and overcome that challenge, and both convince, public and private sector that the model that we've created and the amount of money that's being designated towards this project is worthwhile to both sides.
And what does that sound like? What do you say to them?
Well, I think in terms of the public sector approach, has always been that we did extensive work in trying to determine what we had to begin with, because obviously there are major ISPs who have invested in Northumberland and do have capacity, as well as smaller private ISPs. But the real reality is those hard to serve areas in Northumberland, and the fact that number, a third of our households need to be serviced for those reasons of from healthcare to education to business operations to the ag sector needing that type of connectivity to talent attraction. And all of that rolled together is part and parcel of community development. So the approach from to the public sector was just that. If we have this, we can develop community in a way that supports multiple needs. From a private sector perspective, having that type of funding as part of the sort of sales package to attract a private sector partner to do this makes it worthwhile for their investment. So it's a bit of a Rubik's cube. There are very, very few public-private sector partnerships that work, primarily because the from a public perspective, and I'll speak for myself and the team who's done this, our aim is prosperity for community. In the private sector, it's profit, and it's the reality, and it's not right or wrong. There's a significant amount of negotiation between those two types of values in order to strike a deal. And so that's part and parcel why we've spent we've it's taken quite some time to get this off the ground.
You've already said as part of our conversation that you're signing agreements, getting the final agreements signed by all the parties, and you're almost shovel ready. You're going to do
Yes.
this very, very soon. What can people living in rural areas within the county expect to see taking place in the near future?
The way this project rolls out, the private sector partner will be sending, and we will support this through our marketing and communication efforts. The private sector partner will start sending out advanced teams of individuals to start to sell their product in advance of where they will begin operations. And to maybe shape what that looks like, this project isn't build it over the course of the 2025 and then light it up to make it operational. It's providing the service as they go. So they're the current sort of rough estimate on work crews and timing is that there are multiple work crews who will be out there putting fiber either in the ground or aerial in order to get the necessary infrastructure to an individual's home. Now, the individual does not have to take it. There's no force on this, but their sales team will provide them their pricing structure. And I mean, the reality is for anywhere where this fiber is going, it makes a great deal of sense to those who probably will never see it under any other kind of terms to take a good look at what's being offered. Because as part of this initial outlay, the cost of the cost of getting that fiber to your home is included in this project, so you can get fiber to the home.
Let's be really clear about this. So, if I see a crew out, they're working and they're putting in the initial infrastructure to say go down my country road, we'll see them working away. And that will be my opportunity that if I want to get this internet service, I can put up my hand and say, I'll get an account and I'll pay for that account. But I don't have to pay for them to take that fiber from the road to my house
That's correct.
under this agreement.
That's right. And the sales team in advance of that will provide you that information. So as they build, they can, if you're not interested, it's at the end of your driveway. So at least down the road in the future, if you want it, you can acquire it, but that would be an additional cost at that time.
So it'll be more expensive if I come in later. But if I do it now while they're in my neighborhood and they're coming in and they're pitching me, this is I don't have to pay for that. That's going to be paid for by this project, by all this
That's right.
money. All right. All right. So when I start getting the literature or people start knocking on my door or phoning me, then
Yeah,
I should start paying attention.
it's direct sales, and then part of our communication plan is to not is to ensure that residents know that this is not a scam, that this is for real. This is who they're dealing with. This is what is happening. And right now, because of the nature of federal and provincial agreements, at this point in time, we're certainly kind of dealing with a couple of communication embargoes because there needs to be. At that level, they want some control of the communication, but all of this is being expedited at a relatively rapid rate. So, and when you have multiple crews going and starting to put fiber in place, then you'll also have multiple crews, multiple groupings of salespeople doing that. We're trying to ensure that there's public awareness that this is for real, and this is the project that will get them their connectivity.
Now, from a logistics standpoint of view, is it going to roll out in a sort of a geographic way? In other words, they're going to start at the east end and work west, or will it be based on how many people in a particular area decide that they want to do this, and collectively then they'll say, okay, we're going to go down this road because we've got five people down the road that want it, or we're going to go over here because a lot of people in this village want it. How's that going to work?
So as part of the funding mechanism, there is a design build pattern in place. And also what's extremely important in this is and it's becoming more and more evident is the cooperation we're receiving from the lower tiers, because we're looking for right of ways, and we have to be extremely cognizant that we're not this company is not putting something where there's already something that could create a problem. So since October, there's been ongoing discussion between the company that will be doing the design build and the lower tiers, as well as County Public Works, to coordinate this activity. So it's extremely important from our end that we maintain the relationship with the public works folks in each and every one of the lower tiers, and be very, very cognizant of anything that they might view as creating a problem for them.
So I wonder from a resident's point of view, should I ex if I live in the east end of the county, should I expect something in the next 2, 3 months? If I live in the west, is it going to be 6 months? Like, how does when I should be putting up my hand?
I think what we're looking at is multiple start points in multiple areas of the county, and it comes back to that communications and marketing effort on our part. I mean, we're trying to coordinate that right now with the public sector, our public sector, our private sector partner rather, so that so that we can handle any of the queries about, from somebody saying, well, I've had a knock on my door, is this the county project,
So if I'm a resident again, I should keep my eye open, what, for the next 2, 3 weeks, next month, next 2 months?
I would think we should have something in play by end of month from a communications perspective.
All right.
There are some things we just can't control in
Oh,
terms of timing,
I understand,
but
but people
it's
keeping their antennas up and
yeah.
listening if they're anxious to get this. Now, what if I live in a really hilly, rocky area? You can't put the fiber in. Am I still going to be able to get to take advantage of this? I mean, are there options for me if I really live in a hard to reach place?
There are, and we're also working at trying to increase those options so that that we fulfill the mandate. So,
All right. Let's talk about connectivity, because I mean, everybody right now, you often see on social media, oh, hey, is everybody else's internet slowed down? I keep getting this problem, blah, blah, blah. What can people expect in terms of the speed of the internet and the reliability of the service?
Well, if it's fiber to the home, it's as reliable as you're ever going to get, because fiber is not weather dependent, and so this fiber connection will give you speeds up to 10 gigabytes per second. So if you're a work from home type of individual, and if you're or you're you have hybrid work, and you're especially involved in professions that are information heavy, or blueprint heavy, or files that are extensive, if you can have a max of up to 10 gigabytes per second, you're there. And even one gigabyte per second to the average homeowner is huge enough to overcome the challenges of the sort of 4 o'clock dip, where everybody's on at home.
You've already mentioned that you're talking with the municipalities and the Public Works Department, but what kind of impact is this going to have on roads? I mean, will it affect traffic? Is it going to be something where they're going to be ripping up my road in a major way? Is it going to be intrusive? I guess I'm asking.
No, and that's why all the pre-work, typically for right-of-way access applications are made both at the lower tier and at the county level, because of the extensiveness of how this is rolling out. The design build component, it is extremely important to be coordinated with the lower tiers. So, one consideration, for instance, is the 2025 county plan for which roads are being worked on. So it's been a matter of trying to coordinate that so that we're not working over top of one another. So it's a lot of facilitation and coordination of effort so that the fiber goes down. I think one if it's plowed, it's 1.2 meters into the ground. It's off the road. There are some areas where it needs to be done through directional drilling, because rather than directional drilling and culverts are synonymous, so that you just can't plow it, so that you don't tear up everybody's driveway. So you can directionally drill adjacent to. So and in some areas, there's no other option potentially other than aerial. That's limited, but that also supports the methodology for completing the project.
So when
So
you're talking about aerial, though, you're talking about like a telephone pole or something like that, and it's going up above
hydro
ground.
pole, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I wonder, sounds incredibly challenging, but especially in Northumberland. I mean, we all talk about the rolling hills of Northumberland. How are you dealing with all these complexities, and what are some of those challenges that you're facing?
Well, I think that's been part of the process for over the course of the last 18 to 20, 24 months, is an engineer will tell you we can build anything as long as there's enough money. The reality is, our public sector partners, especially ICED, which is Innovation, Science, and Economic Development, and their team that's dedicated to their engineering team that's dedicated to broadband deployment, and supported by the engineering expertise of the province. Every road's been mapped, every road's been driven. Everything has been analyzed, and it takes time and review. And on top of that, it's then costed to then determine what methodology is going to be used and what equipment's going to be used. So it and unfortunately, our private sector partner recognizes that and has the necessary expertise to determine the cost for doing that.
Let's put this in practical terms. You've mentioned a bit about, if you're a worker, you work in hybrid, you work from home, you've talked a little bit about that. But what if I'm a farmer? Or what if I've got a family and we like watching Netflix and Crave and all those streaming services?
Yep.
How is this going to impact me?
The circle of death, so to speak.
Yes, indeed.
Well, with fiber to the home, this eliminates that, especially at a minimum 1 gig service. The technology which supports this will eliminate that, and it's geared in such a way that it's not only just residents, but it's for business as well, and businesses can benefit from this. in some cases, a lot of the frustrations come from the fact that, alternative methods of services often are don't have the technological capacity to handle the number of folks using the service at the time. And so it creates a it creates a su supply problem, which then creates a generally upset client base.
So if I'm somebody who already has Starlink or Rogers or some other service coming into my home, is this going to compete? Is this going to replace? How does that work if I already have some kind of a service?
I think generally most areas indicate that the only thing that will change a consumer's mind who already has an existing service is whether or not the new service can overcome those challenges. And I think in this case, because we're starting in installation, we're starting to build in multiple areas. I think the individual homeowner could make a decision probably fairly quickly, because I'm sure the customer service component and the capacity component will be brought to the forefront almost immediately.
In terms of what's next, if I'm hearing this and I want to be aware so that I can take advantage or get more information, what should I be doing right now?
I think it comes back to what we're about to do within the next 3 or 4 weeks in terms of the information that we're going to provide. We're trying to coordinate this, and we'll through our own communications department and with the private sector's communications team, we'll start pumping out information across the board.
All right, I appreciate that, and I but should I be signing up for the county newsletter? Should I be watching a Facebook feed? What should I be looking for?
Well, I know that I know that both sides have a plan, and both sides are meeting this week to lay it out. So, and so we'll ensure that it's the general public will know this as quickly as possible.
All right, this is a massive project. I mentioned when I introduced you that you are advising the county and consulting on this. You are retired. Who's going to take over this portfolio once it's done and you step away?
My replacement is Dwayne Campbell, who is our who comes from a planning background, and over the course of of 2024, he and I have worked together. He's taken on more and more responsibility to the role, so he is familiar. TJ Flynn, who is the investment and attraction person for the county, has played a major role in all of this. And so the supports are there for all concerned. And so we'll, once it's operational, and once it's going, it starts to become, I think, institutionalized, and there will be challenges. Undoubtedly, there will be challenges, and I guess part of my role is to deal with more the relationship issues. One of the best pieces of advice that both TJ and I received when we started on this journey 5 years ago is get yourself some expertise in terms of engineering and design, because without that, you won't stand a chance, neither acquiring funding or making the system work. So we've worked diligently at having, building relationships with those who have been successful in the past, and who have that sort of circle of relationships that have gotten us to where we are, where we are now. It involves creating a great deal of trust, because and I'm tremendously thankful to, County Council for their support in this, because, some of them have wondered, will this ever happen, Dan?
Well, let's talk about that for just a second. How long will this rollout take once you get going?
It has to be done by the end of 2025.
So within the year.
Yes.
And when you're all done, will everyone in the county have access to high-speed internet?
Well, if all the numbers are correct, and those numbers and service availability has been done through both the federal and provincial governments and ourselves, that should be the case.
So, yes.
Yeah.
Dan Borowick, thank you so much for talking to me today.
No problem. It's my pleasure.
That was Dan Borowick, former Director of Economic Development, Planning, and Strategic Initiatives, who is currently advising the county on broadband issues. I want to thank my guests this week for talking to me, and I want to thank all the listeners for tuning in today. Please join me again next week when we will talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life and Northumberland County. So please tune in. If you would like to listen or share this or any podcast, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. There you will find past podcasts, news, and other information about life and politics in Northumberland County. Or you can go to the radio station's website at northumberland897.ca. I'm Robert Washburn. Thanks for taking time out of your day to listen in, and I hope over the week you will continue to consider this. Thank you for listening to this podcast from Consider This. If you have any comments or would like to suggest a story, please contact me at considerthisnorthumberland@gmail.com, or you can message me on Facebook at Consider This. If you enjoyed this podcast or are looking for more news and information about Northumberland County, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. That's consider-this.ca. And don't forget to share. And again, thank you for listening and stay tuned for more from Consider This.